Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, lot to get into, a lot of things still to cover here on Overtime. Again, Get a Grip's coming your way at 9 o'clock, but obviously big things happening in NBA free agency. The LeBron sweepstakes still very much so ongoing. And to help us break it all down, we head out to the Weishart Right, We Make It Right, Cole Cowright Hotline. You can find him over on Locked On Cavs, the Inside Shot Substack. Our good friend Danny Cunningham joining us now. Danny, what's going on?
Not much. How are you doing tonight, man?
We're doing pretty good, Danny. There's a lot happening around the NBA. The World Cup is happening. It is somehow the dead period of sports, and yet I feel like I have no downtime to look away from social media.
Oh, this is absolutely not the dead period in sports. That's like 2 weeks away. We are rocking and rolling right now. There's so much to talk about.
All right, well, Danny, let's kick it off. Obviously, big news of today, just a couple of hours ago. We got Jaylen Brown being traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. I would say most people pretty stunned by the return that it took to get Jaylen Brown, just on how little it was. Were you in that same boat?
Absolutely. I think that this is a great trade by the Sixers and former Cavs GM Mike Yanzi, who is now the president of basketball operations in Philly. I think that this is absolutely an awesome move for them. I was stunned, floored, shocked, whatever adjective you want to use. When I saw what the return was, like the fact they traded a 36-year-old Paul George, and Paul George is still a good player when he's available. That availability has been a big issue for him over the past couple of years. But I was stunned that it just took that and some draft compensation. And I think if you look at this from a Cavs angle, there are a few different things that you can do. You could say, well, Philly definitely got better. I feel pretty strongly about that. Like the Sixers are a better team than they were a few months ago. The Boston Celtics got worse. I feel pretty good about that, which I think that's a good thing for the Cavs. And I do think that they were not as good as the record maybe said they were last year. But the big thing here is that that's all it took to get Jaylen Brown. Because if it only took a 36-year-old Paul George in some draft compensation, that's a package I think the Cavs could have beaten. And how much interest the Cavs had in Jaylen Brown, I don't know exactly. It's not something I've been able to nail down completely, but I would imagine that Kobe Altman at least made the call. I would imagine that this is something that they at least tossed around, that they at least discussed. And now I look at the Cavs as a team who their biggest move so far this offseason has been signing Thomas Bryant to a minimum contract. And not that there's anything wrong with that. And I do think that we should wait until the totality of this free agency period goes forward for the Cavs before we, you know, make any judgments or anything like that. But I look at this and think the Cavs need to get better. And watching Jaylen Brown go from Boston to Philly might be a missed opportunity for them.
Do you think there's any way that deal gets done, especially considering the financials involved, without moving either Evan Mobley or, and I don't think the Cavs would have ever done it, but Donovan Mitchell?
I think there was a pathway to maybe do it. And I think that when you see what the Celtics got in return, the fact that it was only that, like, it makes me wonder, would Boston, and maybe this is a bit of a moot point after they signed Mitchell or agreed to terms with Mitchell Robinson earlier on Wednesday, but like, could there have been a trade that was Jared Allen and Max Strus and Jalen Tyson and maybe a draft pick for Jaylen Brown that would have worked? Like, would that have gotten it done? I don't know, but that works out financially. Like, that's the situation where the Cavs would have been able to do that from a money perspective. And if that's the case, like, that's a trade that I think the Cavs should have done. I don't know if the Celtics would have had interest in that. I don't know exactly what they were looking for. But I think that the Cavs, if they wanted to, the Cavs could have beaten that deal. And I don't think the Cavs have ever made Evan Mobley available. I think if Evan Mobley were made available, he'd be a member of the Boston Celtics right now. And I don't think they've made Donovan Mitchell available. And I don't think they plan to. I don't think they will. And I think if they would have, he'd be a member of the Boston Celtics right now. Because I look at both of those guys, and I think both of those guys right now are better basketball players than Paul George. And I think that that would have been a much better return for the Celtics. I am puzzled from a Boston point of view why they did this deal. But this is just kind of, I guess, the latest head scratcher in the NBA.
Wendy had thrown out is kind of just a, hey, they were trying to determine where guys might have gone. I'm sure you saw the clip, but there was Jaylen Brown. He's like, what if Jaylen Brown went to the Cavs and then LeBron went to the Cavs? And people took this and ran with it. Did you feel like there was any connection to having to make this team better, surrounding it with guys like Jaylen Brown or making a big move like that in order to entice LeBron to get here and actually make that happen?
I think there is a connection there, but I also think the Cavs need to get better regardless of LeBron, right? Like, this is a Cavs team that is good. I don't think that they are great. I think that they need to take a step forward to be a championship contending team, which I don't think that they are right now, and LeBron James helps that. But if this team right now as is, and they've already lost Dean Wade, they've already lost Keon Ellis, if they run everything back and just add LeBron James, are they better than they were last year? Yes. Are they championship contenders? I'm not positive about that. So even if they do add LeBron, like, that cannot be, in my opinion, the only move that they make. Like, if they add LeBron, they get better, but I don't know that if they add LeBron, they get all the way good enough. So I look at this and say, yeah, making a splashy move to entice LeBron James, like, that might be part of the process, and I think that'd be a worthwhile thing for the Cavs to do, because even if you make a splashy move that does get you better and don't add LeBron James, you're still better. And I think that's the important thing here, is that the Cavs do need to improve.
Danny, how confident do you feel right now that if you had to put a number on it, that LeBron is going to end up in Cleveland next year?
I think it's around a coin flip. Okay. And I hate to kind of pop out because I know no one wants to hear 50-50. You know, my wife yells at me all the time when she asks me every day now. She's like, is LeBron coming back? What are the chances? And I think I've gained a little bit of confidence that he will. Over the past 48 hours, like, when I woke up on Monday morning, I thought LeBron's going to be a Warrior and it's going to feel gross and no one's going to like it. And it's going to be like, we're going to get to January and it's going to feel sad. And it's going to be like, who signed up for this? And I don't feel that way anymore. I think the Cavs have as good, if not better, of a chance than anybody to land LeBron services for a third time. I don't think that there's a better story out there for LeBron, for the Cavs, for the NBA. Then LeBron returning to where he's from and where it all started to wrap up what's been the greatest career in NBA history. We'll have to wait and see if that happens. But I think it is a coin flip to maybe slightly better than a coin flip, which is better than what I felt like 24 hours ago or maybe 36 hours ago is a little bit more accurate. But we have to wait and see. And I forgot exactly what it felt like waiting for LeBron to come to a decision, because it's been a while since we've done this, but it's going to be, I think, a very exciting and interesting week or so until a decision is made.
And again, Danny Cunningham with us here on the hotline. Danny, do you think it's one and done and that's pretty much the end of this? Or is there still hope holding on to the idea that maybe LeBron plays two more years?
I think LeBron could play two more years. I don't know if he wants to. I don't know if he knows if he wants to play two more years. But I don't look at this and say, no matter what, this is a last ride. I look at this and think, wherever LeBron goes this summer, that's where he's finishing his career. If he ends up in, you know, Golden State, does he play one more year? Does he play two more years? I don't know, but he's not playing. He's not relocating again. Like, this is not going to be a situation where he plays for Golden State this year and then we do this all over again next year. I think wherever he decides to play this summer, whatever jersey he wears next is going to be the last one he wears. I can't answer whether or not it's like, is this it, or are there going to be two more years, three more years? I don't know. I would be surprised if it's more than two, but I think that I wouldn't be stunned if it is two more years.
Las Vegas was built for stars. Here we go. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside of the LeBron discussion, obviously you mentioned earlier, Cavs have both lost in free agency, Keon Ellis and Dean Wade. The Keon one made sense to me, right? Like, you have some overlapping skill sets between him and Jalen Tyson, him and Max Strus, him and Sam Merrill. Dean Wade seemed like a player they wanted to keep, and at the price tag of sub $10 million a year, didn't feel like it was out of the range of possibility to maybe hold on to him. I mean, how surprising was the loss of Dean Wade to you? And I guess, how big of an impact do you think that plays into the Cavs and what they can do next year?
I wasn't surprised necessarily that the Cavs lost Dean Wade in free agency. I was surprised that Dean Wade only got $10 million or 9.7, whatever it is, in free agency, and that all 4 years of that contract are not guaranteed. And there are people that I talked to across the league that they were surprised that the Cavs didn't pay that much money to keep Dean Wade. So what that told me is that the Cavs have to have something big up their sleeves. I don't think that you can be in a situation where you allow Dean Wade to walk the way that they did for that amount of, like, if he would have gotten the full mid-level from somebody, like if there was a team out there that was willing to pay $15 million a year for Dean Wade, then I think, okay, you know, I get letting him walk. But $10 million for Dean Wade, I look at it and say, that's a pretty good price to pay. And I think that's one that the Cavs should have been willing to pay. So the fact that they did not pay that, I don't know all sides of this story. Like, maybe Dean wanted a fresh start. I'm not entirely sure that that's the case or not. But, like, there were people that were surprised that Dean ended up in Philadelphia for that amount of money and not, like, if that's all he was going to get, be back in Cleveland for a third contract, I guess it would be.
Danny, at this point, obviously, Cavs are still, I mean, not actively strapped for cash, but when you account into James Harden, it's not like they have a ton of money floating around. And we've heard Max Strus pop up as a name that might be trying to be moved. Dennis Schroeder, certainly a name that's probably trying to be moved right now. Is it concerning to you at this point that neither of those two guys have, at least on the outside looking in, garnered all that much attention enough to be traded?
No, I don't think that's a concerning thing, because the Cavs oftentimes do operate in, I don't want to say operate in the dark, but they operate quietly under Kobe Altman. And like, even as it relates to the LeBron stuff, you know, think about before LeBron informed the Lakers that he was going to be moving on and playing his final years of basketball in a different situation. Did we ever actually hear a report that the Cavs were interested in LeBron, or did we all just assume that the Cavs were interested in LeBron, right? Like, that's kind of what it was. And then, you know, it's informed that he's not going to be back with the Lakers. And then the report starts to come out, oh, the Cavs are interested. It's just kind of this thing that we all assume. So the Cavs have sort of operated in some versions of silence. So I don't necessarily think that because we've not heard more about where Max Strus could be or where Dennis Schroeder could be or what other trades they could potentially make, just because we haven't necessarily heard about that doesn't mean that Kobe Altman is not trying to make things happen. Because I do think that they've been very active on the trade market to try and improve this roster and to try and create more flexibility with this roster.
Danny, you mentioned earlier you think this team has to get better one way or another if they get LeBron or not. Outside of LeBron himself, I mean, are there names that stick out to you as clear candidates and options that the Cavs should be looking at right now?
I think it has to be more in the trade market, and I think that is more of a question of who is exactly available, and we don't necessarily know that, and that's why I'm happy to be a reporter and not necessarily a general manager making these decisions. Like, I've heard Jonathan Kuminga's name thrown around. I don't necessarily love the fit there. I don't know that he is the guy the Cavs should be going after. I'd be surprised if that happens. I wouldn't rule it out, but, like, I'd be surprised if Jonathan Kuminga ends up in Cleveland. But I do look at this and think, guys that maybe you're not thinking, and listen, the Cavs are always going to be hunting for a big fish. LeBron qualifies as that. Is there somebody else out there that we maybe not have thought of that could be available that qualifies as that? I kind of think that is the move that we have to wait and see, because I do not think that this offseason, I don't think that we're done being surprised. And I'm not saying that that's always going to be something with the Cavs, but I don't think that the surprises across the NBA are finished. And I think the Cavs could maybe be part of one at a certain point, and that is a way that they can improve this team.
Obviously, major part of this, and again, Danny Cunningham with this on the hotline, a major part of all of this is James Harden opts out of his contract and gives the Cavs the flexibility. And I mean, we assume the only way the reason this is happening is he's taking less money. I think people expected a lot out of Harden last year, didn't get what they wanted. How much credit does he get in your book for making a sacrificial move like the one he's making right now?
Oh, I think it's a very important thing. And I think that's part of the reason why they traded for him. And James has a history throughout his career of doing this. Like, he has made financial sacrifices at a lot of his stops, and he doesn't necessarily get the credit that he deserves for it, because listen, I mean, he's had an incredible career. He's a Hall of Famer. He's made so much money. He's made more money than I can imagine throughout his career, but he's passed up on money too. And I don't know if this qualifies as passing up on money, because he's going to get a multi-year deal, but I don't think a lot of this stuff would be possible without James's cooperation, because it would have been easy for James to say, hey, I want my $42 million next year. I'm going to opt into my player option, and the Cavs are not going to be in a position to where they could lose me for nothing. Harden had the leverage in that situation, but instead he chose to take what is going to be more guaranteed dollars. He's going to make more than the $42 million that he would have been owed this year. Over the next 2 years, he's going to make more than that. So like, this is a prudent financial decision for him, but it is one that gives the Cavs flexibility. It's one that allows the Cavs to get better. And I think he does deserve a lot of credit, despite the fact that he's only been here a few months, for being somebody that is willing to maybe take a little bit of a haircut to make the Cavs better in the present day.
All right, Danny, before I let you go, I want to take you back to the Jaylen Brown trade just really quick. 76ers, with the team they have and with Joel Embiid still one of the centerpieces to it, are how concerning to you in the Eastern Conference?
They're good. I mean, I look at what they've done. I think they're a better team than they were 24 hours ago. I look at what Toronto has done. They're a better team. Like, the Cavs are in a situation where they were the number four seed, and I don't think that they were the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. And I think you saw that play out correctly in the postseason. But have they gone from the second team in the Eastern Conference to the fifth? Maybe. I think that's possible, because those teams have gotten better, and the Cavs, as of right now, have gotten worse. Now, again, we shouldn't be judging this entirely based on what has happened in the first, what's it been, 26 and a half hours of free agency. Like, that's too early to judge, but this is a group that does need to get better. This is a franchise that needs to find ways to make improvements.
All right, Danny, always appreciate your time. Always good to talk to you. And we'll just keep sitting back and hoping for LeBron and more as we continue to await the decision.
Appreciate you having me, Jake.
Yep, no doubt. Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs, with us there on the Weishart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. We'll react to what he had to say. And do the Cavs need to get more attractive in order to get LeBron? Break it all down right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.